Tonight, state of emergency declared in Florida as Hurricane Irma grows into a fierce Category 4 storm targeting the Caribbean. High anxiety up the East Coast. Preps underway with all eyes on where Irma may hit just days after Harvey. Begging for war, a tough new warning from the U.S. after North Korea conducts its most powerful nuclear test yet. South Korea responding with a massive show of force amid fears of another launch soon. Immigration uproar, protests erupt with a president on the verge of ending Obama-era protections for nearly a million undocumented so-called dreamers. Nurse video fallout, major changes at the hospital where this shocking confrontation was caught on camera. And royal baby surprise, William and Kate about to welcome another new edition. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, I'm Peter Alexander in tonight for Lester. Here we go again tonight. Another powerful hurricane is barreling toward the U.S. The governor of Florida late today declaring a state of emergency as Irma gathers strength. Just upgraded to a devastating Category 4 storm. Still several days away, it's already threatening millions of Americans on the East Coast. And it comes just days after Hurricane Harvey leveled one of the most destructive blows this country has ever seen. In Florida, residents are already cleaning out store shelves and making plans to get out. Al Roker is tracking its path right now. He's joining us with the very latest. Al, where's this thing going?
Well, and that's why so many people have to be aware of this storm, Peter, because it has the potential to not only just come across and devastate the Caribbean, but also the eastern seaboard. Right now, a Category 4 storm. It's 490 miles east of the Leeward Islands, 130 mile per hour winds, and it is moving to the west now, and so that's a little bit of a change. It stays to the north of these land masses, of these Caribbean islands, so there's nothing really to knock it down, and so it stays a Category 4 until Saturday afternoon. And the reason for this, we've got this big dome of high pressure. It's keeping it on a westward path just to the north of the Caribbean islands. But then, what happens on Saturday? Does this continue to build in and push it into the Gulf, or does the high pressure stay out and continue to make that turn up the coast? Right now, hurricane hunters just flew into this. We are getting more data into the National Hurricane Center, and so we've got this ensemble model that keeps everything pretty much the same. But then look what happens Saturday. It comes up into Florida, west coast of Florida, east coast of Florida, into the mid-Atlantic states, Peter. So this storm has the potential to cause catastrophic damage, Category 4 storm. We've never had two make landfall in the same season, let alone back-to-back.
And we're just getting going, almost 2 months left in this hurricane season.
Absolutely.
Al, thank you very much. Now to our other big story this evening. Enough is enough. That's the stern message from the U.S. tonight following North Korea's most powerful nuclear test yet. It's an alarming escalation in an already tense showdown with reports that Kim Jong-un is now preparing for another missile test. The U.N. Security Council holding its second emergency meeting in less than a week, all of it leaving President Trump with some critical decisions to make. We get the very latest now from NBC's chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel in South Korea.
South Korea today showed Kim Jong-un what an attack on his regime would look like, with fighter jets taking part in a simulated strike on North Korea's nuclear facilities. And now South Korea is warning North Korea appears to be preparing for yet another missile launch. At an emergency meeting at the UN, the U.S. urging tougher diplomacy and charging that Kim Jong-un is pushing the world toward conflict.
His abusive use of missiles and his nuclear threats show that he is begging for war.
Multiple senior U.S. officials tell NBC News North Korea crossed a big line on Sunday, detonating what it claimed was a thermonuclear bomb. State propaganda showed Kim Jong-un proudly inspecting a peanut-shaped device. The detonation, a suspected hydrogen bomb, in which an atomic bomb is just the trigger for a far more powerful blast. Around five times more powerful, experts say, than the atomic bomb the U.S. dropped on Nagasaki during World War II. North Korea claims it can load its new bomb onto a missile that can reach the United States. As the U.S. weighs a response, President Trump giving nothing away.
Mr. President, will you attack North Korea?
On possible military options, his defense secretary issued the starkest of warnings.
We are not looking to the total annihilation of a country, namely North Korea. But as I said, we have many options to do so.
Then the economic options. President Trump said he's considering stopping all trade with any country doing business with North Korea. But that would include China, which happens to be our biggest trading partner, too.
Cutting off trade with China is entirely impractical, not just because of the amount of goods that America buys from China, but that China would retaliate by selling off the U.S. dollar, and that would devastate the U.S. economy.
Richard joins us now from Seoul. Richard, you've been talking to senior officials all day. What are they saying about where this showdown is heading?
Well, it's hard to know, Peter. President Trump spoke with his South Korean counterpart. One of the things the South Koreans are pushing for is a possible redeployment of American nuclear weapons to the peninsula. I'm hearing that at least the military members of Trump's administration don't want this to become a military conflict. They want a diplomatic solution through China. But they say the window for diplomacy, if it doesn't work, is somewhat limited, and it is closing because at some stage, North Korea will have enough missiles, enough nuclear weapons to pose an irreversible threat to the United States, and that, they say, is an unacceptable outcome.
Richard Engel in Seoul, South Korea tonight. Richard, thank you very much. For many, this Labor Day was a day of protest on the eve of a critical immigration decision by President Trump. Tomorrow, he's expected to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, that protects so-called dreamers, undocumented immigrants who were brought to this country as children. NBC White House correspondent Kristen Welker has the latest.
Tonight, the backlash is brewing in Los Angeles and Atlanta, where people took to the streets to protest the president's expected announcement on immigration tomorrow. White House sources tell NBC News the president will likely end DACA with a six-month delay for Congress to come up with a fix. The program protects so-called dreamers, young immigrants brought here illegally by their parents from being deported while they work or attend school. Sources caution the decision isn't finalized yet, but forcing the president's hand, nine states have threatened to sue the administration tomorrow unless Mr. Trump scraps DACA.
We have two more houses on Creole.
In Virginia, Angel Romero, a 19-year-old college student and DACA recipient who was brought here illegally at age two, is worried.
I basically got the message that my country doesn't want me here. It's trying to get rid of me, and it was very confusing.
The president campaigned on a promise to end DACA.
I will immediately terminate President Obama's illegal executive order on immigration. Immediately.
But once in office, took a more compassionate tone.
We're going to show great heart. DACA is a very, very difficult subject for me.
Now, immigration advocates are gearing up for a fierce battle.
These DACA immigrants have what we consider, by all standards, the model immigrant. And now we're saying, you know what, we've decided to change the rules once again.
And even some of the president's staunchest supporters are lashing out. They say he's punting on a key campaign promise. Iowa Congressman Steve King tweeting the move could lead to amnesty, which amounts to Republican suicide. Still, others within the party say quick action is needed.
We haven't made this a permanent law, so it's up to us to do so.
Adding DACA to the mix complicates an already jam-packed legislative agenda. On Wednesday, Congress will take up a bill for a Hurricane Harvey relief package totaling more than $7 billion. Among the other must-do items this month alone, Congress needs to raise the debt limit, fund the government, and reauthorize several other government programs, all underscoring the steep challenges of finding a solution for DACA. Peter.
Full month ahead. Kristen Welker at the White House. Kristen, thank you. In Texas tonight, a massive recovery effort is underway in the wake of Hurricane Harvey. Several communities remain underwater, with tens of thousands of people still displaced from their homes. In Houston, the city is struggling to get back to normal, a process that is certain to take months, if not years. We get the latest now from NBC national correspondent Miguel Almaguer.
9 days after Harvey's landfall in West Houston, the water is still rising. Thousands of evacuations ordered over the weekend.
Everything is lost.
Families pouring out as overflowing reservoirs are partially drained.
We just started evacuating the kids, getting everybody out. That was our situation.
Harvey is gone, but this region remains in peril. An estimated $180 billion in damage. Rebuilding will take years. But the Riggs family says the pain will last a lifetime.
We have such great neighbors here. I mean, it's a great community. I'm a cancer survivor 5 years ago. 2013. And, I guess I'm happy to be alive.
With Houston getting back to work, businesses big and small, like this daycare, are trying to stay afloat.
Our center is very important because the parents have got to get those kids back so they can get back to work.
But roads and homes are underwater. In Houston alone, 75 schools suffered serious damage.
Do you guys need some water?
Cities like Beaumont are struggling to provide drinking water. Many evacuees still have nowhere to go. 33,000 in 284 shelters. The small things making the biggest difference.
I've been stressed out the whole week, so this makes me happy.
Tiny communities like Rose City may be hurting the most. No electricity for weeks, just the power of neighbors. Across Texas, a sea of destruction and a river of tears. A salute to Sergeant Steve Perez, killed in the storm.
This is your lives.
That's my whole life here.
And tonight, prayers for the families who have lost so much.
She's losing everything. And I'm just trying to comfort her.
With floodwaters receding tonight, a new landscape is emerging. Home after home, neighborhood after neighborhood looks just like this. So many are trying to rebuild. The death toll from Harvey now stands at 45. That number could rise. Peter?
Another stunning picture there in Texas tonight. Miguel Almaguer, thank you. In the West, another type of disaster is playing out this evening. Nearly 60 major fires are raging across the region, forcing thousands to evacuate and destroying dozens of homes so far. To blame record-setting Labor Day weekend heat only helping fuel those flames. We get more now on that from NBC's Steve Patterson.
In Los Angeles, state of emergency. The so-called Latuna Canyon fire scorching 7,000 acres, forcing 1,400 people to evacuate, destroying four homes.
Hey, we need to move.
Today, a break in the weather. Firefighters getting the upper hand, evacuation orders lifted, but the homecoming, heartbreaking.
It's really sad. It's really disheartening.
For Lindy Bolison's in-laws in their 80s, this is all that's left.
They've lost everything. It's a lifetime. 50 years, I mean, all their stuff, all their memories.
The Southern California blaze is one of 58 uncontained wildfires sweeping across the West, from Nevada to Washington State. In Northern California, 32 homes destroyed by a fire nearly 6 square miles, more than 1,600 firefighters on the front lines. In Montana, multiple wildfires scorching bone-dry land. Hotshot fire crews taking on the massive Lolo Peak fire in soaring temperatures and red flag winds. And in Oregon, close call. More than 150 hikers stranded Saturday, trapped between two out-of-control wildfires. The National Guard rescued them, airlifting some to safety. There was relief, hugs, and smiles when they reunited. A happy ending this Labor Day weekend, but with more hot weather in the forecast, fire season is just reaching its peak. Steve Patterson, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Still ahead here, new fallout from that shocking video. A nurse who says she was handcuffed just for protecting a patient's rights. How the hospital is now fighting back. Also, big news for Britain's royals. Prince George and Princess Charlotte about to get a new little brother or sister. Back now with a growing outrage over that video showing a police detective aggressively handcuffing a nurse in the ER. Today, the hospital announced new restrictions on what police are allowed to do on hospital grounds. And the nurse at the center of it all is giving her side of the story to NBC News. Our Tom Costello has more.
You're under arrest. We're going. We're
done. 4 days after the release of that video of Nurse Alex Robles being manhandled, then handcuffed by Detective Jeff Payne, the hospital today said it will no longer allow police to interact directly with medical staff involved in patient care.
We're done. You're under arrest.
Detective Payne became angry after Nurse Rubbles said it was illegal for her to draw blood from a truck driver involved in this crash involving a car being chased by police.
There's absolutely no tolerance for that kind of behavior in our hospital.
Indeed, the Supreme Court ruled last year police must have a warrant or consent to take blood. Today, Nurse Wubbles, a former Olympic athlete, said Salt Lake police were slow to take action. Only after the video, shot in July, was released were Detective Payne and another officer placed on paid leave pending a criminal investigation.
I'm not here to police the police. The police need to do that if they're going to regain any kind of trust. By me or, I think, the public.
Outraged citizens have protested, jammed 911 lines, and posted thousands of Facebook comments for Payne to face criminal charges.
If they are not held accountable, that will further erode the public's trust in police officers generally and in this police department in particular.
The mayor and police chief have both apologized. Detective Payne isn't commenting. And it turns out the patient who Nurse Wubbles was protecting is William Gray, himself a reserve police officer from Idaho who was never accused of any wrongdoing. He and his department have thanked Wubbles for standing up for him. Peter?
Tom Cosello, thank you. We're back in a moment with a touching new tradition at one university as America welcomes back college football. Britain's royal family had a surprise for the world today. Kensington Palace announcing that the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, William and Kate, are expecting baby number 3. Of course, the question now, what everyone wants to know, will Prince George and Princess Charlotte be getting a new brother or a new sister? Here's NBC's Bill Neely.
A Labor Day surprise. No labor yet for Kate, but she is pregnant and being treated today for severe morning sickness, just like her two other pregnancies. There was a baby hint recently when the Duchess was handed a toy for a newborn. So their third child is on its way. The official announcement from Will and Kate in a tweet saying they're very pleased.
It's not a surprise. I think all of us have just been sitting waiting for this announcement. I think most people assume she would want to have 3. She's one of 3.
The Queen at work today was said to be delighted at news of her 6th great-grandchild. A thumbs up too from Uncle Prince Harry.
Fantastic. Great. Very, very happy for them.
But the new baby makes it even less likely Harry will be king. It's bumped him down to 6th in line to the British throne. It's another sibling for Prince George, who turned 4 in July and who starts school Thursday, and for 2-year-old Princess Charlotte, giving this royal family an heir, a spare, and a playmate. No news yet if it's a boy or a girl, but a royal birth expected in the spring. Bill Neely, NBC News, London.
They certainly make some cute kids. This weekend, the college football season kicked off, and in the sport of old traditions, fans at the University of Iowa started a new one at Saturday's game. At the end of the first quarter, thousands of Hawkeyes in the stands turned and waved to the Children's Hospital nearby. A touching show of support for the kids receiving treatment there and for their families as well. That's a tradition that should stick. When we come back, they survived one hurricane disaster, only to live through another. Their incredible stories are inspiring America.
Inspiring America is brought to you by Dr. Scholl's Massaging Gel Insoles.
Finally tonight, a tale of two cities. For many, the scenes of devastation in Houston after Harvey bring back vivid memories of another hurricane disaster. When Katrina hit New Orleans 12 years ago, it was the people of Houston who took in the most evacuees. Now, those survivors who lived through both storms are forming a special bond. Here's NBC's Gabe Gutierrez.
The rescue boat here to come get us.
This is the moment Zita Veal was rescued.
I am petrified because I can't swim.
And this is the moment the horror of Harvey came flooding back. Zita and her family survived, but she says she watched a neighbor's child suffer a fatal asthma attack in the height of the storm.
It's like deja vu. You look at the news and the city is underwater. It was like the end of the world because you don't know where you're going from here.
She's among the 200,000 Katrina evacuees who desperately escaped to Houston 12 years ago. About 40,000 remain. Among them, Patricia McGinnis, who lives on Angel Lane, a housing development built for Katrina evacuees.
I've learned about the people in Houston. If you're in trouble, they're here to help you.
And thousands have done just that.
You mind opening that crate, sir?
My faith in humanity has been restored by all the fine volunteers that are helping us out.
Some 350 miles away, T. Martin runs this restaurant in New Orleans. Katrina closed it for 13 months. Now she and others have launched fundraisers for Houston.
They had our back, and we're going to have their back.
The Louisiana National Guard also returning the favor. So is this New Orleans-based volunteer group. And Zita Veal giving her own time to help her adopted home.
I have to let them know that I've been through this before. There's hope. There is hope.
A tale of two cities tested by tragedy, bound by resilience. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Houston.
Powerful stories leading by example. That is Nightly News for this Monday night. I'm Peter Alexander, and for Lester, he'll be right back here tomorrow. For all of us at NBC News, thanks for watching, and have a good night.